Day 2, Side 2, continuing. Playhouse. Let's talk about the playhouse again.
Way back when my older sister was married, she was married in the Tree of Life Synagogue on Craft Avenue. And I remember I was just in grade school then. We went next door to a house that was a restaurant. Right next door. And that's where the wedding dinner was held. And of course, it was certainly kosher food, because otherwise Rabbi Halpern certainly would not have been a part of it, and he was there. And the irony of it is, I think it was called the German Club.
Who's the oldest of your sisters?
Bertha
was the oldest.
Bertha Goodman was the oldest. Not my sister.
Oh, your sisters. I understand that.
My brother Albert really was the oldest.
You told us that the last time, but we didn't.
Bertha was the oldest, then came Frieda.
Oh.
And then I came.
In the neighborhood, that you lived in, that you're still living in, did you have any community activities? You mentioned the neighbor next door that you housed either, you know, dancing people. Was there any kind of community activity within the neighborhood, the other part of this neighborhood here?
We used to have, street parties. We had street parties, and some neighbors would take the host. That you would go to their house first if you wanted some beverage of some kind, and just socialized a great deal, and everybody in the neighborhood was invited.
Was most of the neighborhood Jewish at that time?
Here?
Yeah.
No, it still isn't. Mm-hmm. My neighbor next door is non-Jewish. Mm-hmm. The people next door to him is non-Jewish.
That's right.
And in fact, he is my dentist next door. And it was great help to me when my husband passed away and we went to his dental office and got things kind of cleared up.
Hilda, when did your husband pass away? And was he ill before that?
Passed away in 1979. I continued my biggest activity was remaining at the University of Pittsburgh. I don't know whether I mentioned before, I was president of education alumni of the university. I did mention that. And I am still there today on the executive committee, because I enjoy the particular phase of my activity there very much, which is the financial grants, or the grants to faculty and students who are working on advanced degrees. I became president of this congregation in 1982.
Did you work yourself up to other positions in the congregation before you became president?
Well, you mean I was on the board of trustees of the congregation. First as a representative of the sisterhood, because I was president. And after that, I was elected to the board of trustees. The activities that we had, I usually had my fingers in the pie there, and was participating in everything congregation-wise. The shock came to me after my activity there on various committees that I was asked to be executive vice president, which meant you were absolutely went into the presidency after that. I didn't accept right away. I called my family, called Rabbi Kaplan, who was here at the time. I said, I don't know whether I should accept this. And they all encouraged me to do so. And certainly it was good therapy for me right after my husband passed away to accept the responsibility of executive vice president, knowing I was going into the presidency. Then in 1982, I became president. And it was quite an experience because Rabbi Kaplan had died very suddenly, 2 weeks before I was installed as president. So for about the first year of my presidency, there was a search committee working to find a rabbi. In the meantime, I remember Rabbi Stateman from Rhode Island had come over and said to me, I came over to see what I can do to help you, and I will officiate whenever you need me. And he did. He came and officiated at the time, and everybody was most cooperative. It took us almost a year to find a rabbi, because we were late coming onto the scene of finding one. And I remember every Monday went down to the city of Pittsburgh to a private club called Standard Club, which is no longer in existence.
What was the name of it?
Standard Club. And it was mostly business people, I think, who went there, had their lunches and had activities. The candidate would fly in, and then we would meet the candidate at the club for lunch, because the people on the search committee were all employed downtown, lawyers and business people, and it was simple for them to come over to the Standard Club, interview, and still be back at their place of business in due time. And then the candidate would, if he had time, we would take him out to the synagogue and show him around, or he would fly right back, and we took care of all that. Being president of a synagogue was a full-time job, and being the first woman, I had a lot to prove, and I was there every day to make sure of what was going on, because It was a full-time job, and it was something I had to do to represent women in the right way.
You're the first woman president of any synagogue in Pittsburgh.
The only one that preceded me was, saw her the other day. What's her name?
From where?
Who?
What synagogue?
Let's go.
Harriet Truman
came in few weeks, the same year, but a few weeks before. Of course, since then, there's been quite a number of women presidents. And I think the men finally got around to the idea that a woman could head a congregation. I don't think the men, and there was a time when a woman could not even be on our board of trustees. I think that was prevalent in all the synagogues.
There was no problem with being on a bina for a woman at least in
the congregation. No, whatsoever. I sit up there a lot. It was very interesting to be so close to the clergy and everything religious. It was very interesting. And very impressive, I will say this. It was very impressive. I was greatly impressed, and I was greatly honored.
How long were you president?
For 2 years, from 1982 to 1984.
And after you finished your service as president, you continued with your activities at Tree of Life?
Oh, yeah.
Anything you want to tell us about any activities that
I did a variety of things. I didn't take one thing in particular. I just did a variety of things and participated in practically all of the activities.
Did you you active in any other organizations?
At the same time?
Yeah, or shortly thereafter.
No. The Council of Jewish Women, do you remember when they had the Angel Ball?
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gerberta, my daughter Gerberta, was presented, so to speak, the Angel Ball, which was a great experience, especially since each child's father was a part of the picture, where they escorted their daughter in and danced with her until the girl's date for the evening broke in and took over. It was, it's too bad they have not continued with that, because it was a big, there was just crowds of people on the entire 17th floor of the William Penn that came to that, and it was well run. And of course now they have, I don't have to tell this organization, now they have the stay-at-home ball, which was a clever idea.
Less costly.
I presume it was financial reasons that it's no longer held. But it was beautiful.
Tell me about Gerberta. Tell us something about Gerberta and her marriage and children and grandchildren.
Let's see. Gerberta. Where do I start? Gerberta's a very fun-loving girl, and she has a tremendous sense of humor. And I hate to say this about my daughter, people just love to have her around because she's fun to be with. And I hear this from them. I don't tell this to the people that are associated with her. They tell me that they enjoy her so much.
Where is she teaching?
She teaches in the Churchill School District, which is now called Woodland Hills, since it's because of integration, they had to accept Braddock and Rankin schools into their district because they were deprived areas. At this very moment, in December of 1999, the school district has asked that they be released from this rule of being a combination of Braddock and Rankin, and that they have more freedom in what they do with educational things and the children from those areas, this will come up in the courts because it's the neighborhood legal, that's the group of the lawyers that have carried this through. And
the neighborhood legal.
At one time before Trilla had her children, she was very active in Ort. O-R-T, Ort. She was a citywide vice president, I remember. And that, of course, Ort isn't as, I shouldn't say that.
It's true.
It is not as popular. It's popular, I'd say. It might be big, but it's not as popular as it used to be. Because there were several events I used to go to with her that are not even held anymore.
And what about Gilberta's husband?
Her husband is a CPA.
His name?
He's a graduate of Duquesne University.
His name?
Mm-hmm.
What's his name?
Oh, Stanley Goldman, G-O-L-D-M-A-N.
And the children? Mm-hmm. And the children, what are their names?
Roberta has two sons. Jeremy, the older, and he is dragged in a pit. Spent the first 2 years where his mother went to school at Kent State, and then he transferred. Her second son, who just turned 21,
name?
He's Bradley, B-R-A-B-L-A-Y, which we all call him Brad, so I forget about Bradley. And Brad is at Miami of Ohio University. That's in Oxford, Ohio. And by the way, Jeremy is director of teen activities at the new South Hills JCC, Jewish Community Center. Naturally, I have to interpret that for you. And of course, Bradley's still in school. So, and Bradley was one of the ones the JCC has selected, along with another, with the group, to go to Israel January 3rd with a college group nationally, which is free of charge, and it is being paid for by Steven Spielberg and a Mr. Bronson, B-R-O-N-S-A-N-S, you know who that is. These two men are paying and for this trip, and it's called something about, I wish I knew the name. I only heard it once and it escaped me. He's calling this tour, and this is being held for the first time. And they're to be gone there for 10 days or 2 weeks. I asked Bradley about his missing all these classes at school, and he said that his winter vacation coincides, and he'll only miss 3 days, which he can't straighten out with his professor.
Have you made any trips to Israel, or any trips abroad at all?
You mean to Israel? Mm. No.
Yeah,
I'm not one who flies.
I see.
And I said, when they build that bridge, I'll be the first one to go to Israel. I went to Arizona a few weeks ago, and my entire family got me on the plane, and it was a smooth trip.
What about your social life today?
Today?
Yes. What are the kind of things you do? And how do you spend your days today?
Oh, God. I go to dinner with friends who have not forgotten me. They're very kind, very nice. And I go to lunch with the girls. I'm not a bridge player, not a card player at all, so I'm not in that particular.
Do you still keep activities at the synagogue?
Oh, yeah.
And you attend classes there?
Rabbi has a class on Monday mornings, which we find so good. We even have the new assistant rabbi. We have him sold on this too. But he said he would even give us extra time, which we said we would be glad to give you extra time too. We love it because it's not only a course in Torah, but we have a session, part of the session is current events. And it really brings us up to date on things going on in Israel and everything else citywide. Rabbi Birkin is in close touch with the Catholics right now, and we had, for Rosh Hashanah, we had Bishop Wuerl as a speaker. He asked us how we felt about his being there because some people had objected to his being on the pulpit Erev Rosh Hashanah. Of course, we in the class thought it was very good, very impressive. And we thought that at the end, many people stayed just to go up and shake hands with Bishop Worrell, because they don't ordinarily have that opportunity. I don't know, I find myself busy, and yet I can't put my finger on doing any great things. I should be down more at council and offering my services even for their sales. But I'll probably, now that I've spoken, I'll probably be down and help out.
What do you view your greatest accomplishment you have been all the years that you've been doing all kinds of things?
What's my accomplishment? I think the presidency of the congregation was very impressive. I felt at one time, much younger, when I was president of the School of Education alumni, I was greatly impressed with being in the company of the chancellor and other prominent business people, corporation people, that I ordinarily would not have been. I've been a guest at the chancellor's house for things, and that was very impressive to me, along with the fact that, well, that was long before I was president of the congregation. Both those positions was something I was very proud, and I was impressed with everything connected with it. Right now I'm primarily interested in, I had at the synagogue, I had the philanthropic committee, which we meet, and I meet with very fine committee of gentlemen, all men, and the rabbi, and which time we decide which are deserving organizations to contribute to, mostly community-wise. And of course, the actual bona fide meeting dates are the Board of Trustees at synagogue. Also, I'm still on the executive committee there. Chair this committee, and we meet by every third month. Plus, when I go to the university and meet only with faculty people who are studying the proposals handed in by the people that want the grant, and being so closely associated with situations like this is very educational for me. It keeps my head a little on straight.
Can you do any comparison between now and 1990 now and Pittsburgh when you were growing up? Which do you find? Do you think we've made progress, let's put it that way? Or have you done that your life when you were younger was just as fulfilling as it is to people's lives today?
That's the difference. My life growing up in the West End, remember I lived in the West End even all through college. I didn't leave there as a child. I was very much an adult. And I didn't find anti-Semitism in the West End, which was, as I look back now, it's very refreshing to think about. And all of the things that our whole family was involved in there, that was never because they're Jewish, they can't do this or that. I'll give you a little incident. My brother's best friend went into the priesthood. And we were invited to his first Mass, which is a big thing with the Catholic religion. And the Reuben family was all in this one row. And at the end of the Mass, the priest, who was my brother's friend, looked up and beckoned to my us to come up to the altar. We had been watching him call various people up, who came up and knelt, and he gave a special prayer over their head. Well, my mother wasn't going to be a part of going up to the altar and kneeling. They knelt. He kept going like this, and she was shaking her head no. He kept going. She said to him no. Finally, an usher came down and said, "Father Garman said for you to go up, you do not have to kneel, just stand there." Okay, so my mother said, we went up, we stood there, and he just placed his hand on each head, said a little prayer, and that was it. I think these things where they recognize the difference between Christianity and Judaism was so prevalent there that I look back today and I just can't believe that. Things like, my father was the only Jew ever that was taken into this particular chapter of the Masons. And these are the things I think about that I can't believe that went on. And today, when anti-Semitism came about, it's more difficult for me to accept it and to understand it when it wasn't that way for me when I was a child.
Is there anything else you would like to add? What about some of the awards you've gotten? Now, I know you got one from Israel Bonds.
Yes, I was honored by Israel Bonds 1996, and I'll tell you the truth. I had refused so many times. Do I have to tell her? She brings up Israel Bond, and you know why.
I know why.
So, anyway, that was a great thrill. That yeah. Really was.
Any other honor, any other awards that you'd like to mention? Or anything else you'd like to tell us? We're here for you to tell us whatever you'd like.
Well, I don't think I would have been as comfortable in this interview if it was not for the two wonderful ladies you sent me to interview. As it is, I'm uncomfortable. I never sat and talked about myself for such a length of time. The award I got in high school was greatly remembered because it was in a vote of the entire student body, and that was by the Pittsburgh Chamber of Commerce that gave this award. I have medals from having won races in the track meets. I also played varsity basketball, volleyball, that sort of thing. I don't know about other award. You don't think.
Well, I know that we've been awarded by being able to interview you. It's been a great experience for us.
Well, I don't know why I was even chosen.
Because you are an outstanding lady in the city.
That's right. That I can't believe. I can't believe it.
Ruth, is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think it's been a delight. We're glad to have been here. We appreciate it.
I don't know what else I could think of. I served on the Board of Governors of Israel Bonds. Did you know that? I don't know. That doesn't exist. Unless I'm not on it anymore. I guess that's still in existence, is it? Well, I'm sure. And I was at one time on the board of Riverview, when it was Riverview. And Harry Kamen, a very close friend of mine, he was instrumental in making me a member of that board, I'm sure. It was very interesting to find out what really goes on.
If you have nothing else, I just want to say, I remember your mother, and she rests in peace. And the apple doesn't fall from the tree.
Well, that's a great culture.